All right, folks, we got another exciting episode of the Mad Hatter Podcast. I'm just saying it's exciting because you're here, brother.
Right.
Got that strong, big game going on. But we're actually here to talk about something really, really cool that this brother's doing. Got a restaurant called The Greasy Spoon in Pearland. Well, actually, we got a couple of locations.
Right.
We'll get into that. But right now, we at his Pearland location, 1009 Broadway. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Max Bozeman. Not to be confused with, you know, the other brother, but they might be... That name could have got changed through the years.
It could have. I don't know.
Say his is B-O-S. B-O-Z.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes what happens, people change letters because
right.
of whatever reason. So,
well, he probably changed here. Mine is the original, you know, both Montana and all these other places. You know,
okay,
so,
okay. Yeah. I got you. Now, I got to talk to Max about that. He is a brother. He is from Northside, Houston, Texas.
Right.
But accidentally, when we started talking about his last name, he revealed something to me. So I know we got to get to the restaurant, but anytime you meet somebody who battles a serious disease and they win the battle,
right.
you got to talk about that. So the brother, you had cancer.
Yes.
So talk about when you first got it, what that battle was like, if you don't mind sharing that, because these are the kind of stories we truly grow from. And then we're going to get to this incredible restaurant you got.
Gotcha.
A couple of locations, let me be clear about that.
Yeah, so I opened up in Greasy Spoon, the first location on the north side of Houston, 2020, around February.
Okay. That was a rough time to open because we gone through COVID.
Got hit with COVID a month later. Right after I opened
up. That's another story right there. So how did y'all survive during that time?
Man, you know, I've been blessed to... have experience in business since I was 19. I opened up my first company.
Okay.
And so I'm 39 now, so I'm almost 20 years in at that point. Yeah, but I was able to kind of go back to, you know, the grassroots of how I built up my brands the way I've done it over the years and just get creative and just have faith and relentlessness, you know.
Were you able to, you know, I hate to say move food like it's work, but were you able to sell food at that time, or did you have to stop everything?
I sold food. Like,
so how did y'all do that? Because everything was locked down during.
Well,
that time.
We had to close the dining room part,
but
and you can do it to go.
Oh,
and I had people lined up for hours in line.
Really?
Yeah.
So
man, just open.
I hate to say this, because there are some people during COVID. They blossomed in a business group. Were you one of those?
I was the one, and I honestly kind of felt bad. Not serious.
I get it.
And so many people that I know personally, you know, they didn't survive. And then even the big boys were shutting down.
That's right.
You know, and so I was really blessed to be able to kind of get through that, and it actually catapulted my brand to a whole nother level to where even after COVID, I was able to continue to thrive. And so it was a pretty dope situation.
Let me ask you this, because the food can't suck if you survived during COVID and you're still able to have locations now. Was the food, were the people talking about it so much so that they had to keep coming back from
So what happened,
I
ended up going viral and didn't know it.
Really?
And so I was in a restaurant one day and people just were coming in. They're like, man, you're all over Facebook, you know? And I was like, really, what? And so I was like, okay, I didn't really do social. Well, I did Instagram, but not Facebook right?
I'm just saying.
And so more people start coming in, and I'm like, where are these people coming from? Like, did I just open a couple months prior too? And so, and lo and behold, I went viral on Facebook on one of the black restaurant pages, the Houston Black Owned Restaurant group, and. It exploded so much so to where I had to remove all of the furniture out of the restaurant.
Wow.
And create lines like it was an amusement park at Six Flags.
You had to have them like.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, and then it went all the way down the south.
So did you shoot something yourself or did somebody just happen to be here
shooting? No, people just
posted it.
Yeah, they posted in a group. And then, of course, a couple of months after that, that's when I got diagnosed. And that's where the growth really happened.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I didn't realize. I'm thinking that this happened in 2018 when you got cancer. So how did you get diagnosed? And how'd you find out?
So I had honestly been having what they call the symptoms for about a year, and I never did get checked. You know, I'm a grinder. I'm a hustler, and so I'm the person that just keeps working and keeps grinding and puts myself last. Who I used to, I've learned, right? And so even though I was experiencing certain symptoms, I didn't know what they were or where they were coming from, why I had them, but I ignored them, so to speak.
Okay, I got to find out. You got to tell us what those symptoms were.
I was bleeding in my stool.
Really?
Yeah. So I had a lot in my stools. Yeah, I started out a little, but then it became like just, you know, a commode full of blood. And I still didn't go to the doctor.
Because?
One, I was probably afraid of what it, I didn't know what it could be. Mm-hmm. And then two, I was like, man, I got people who need me out here to grind. You know, I got to continue with business because this was just one of the companies, you know? And so I was trying to get that restaurant open. And that's what my focus was. I didn't care about anything else at that point.
Did something happen that made you say, oh, let me?
Yeah, my aunt told me to go to the doctor, and I wouldn't go. And she actually made me a doctor's appointment with her GI. Because she has some GI issues. And so, you know, internal bleeding, of course, is something that a GI would be able to have more knowledge about. And so she made the appointment, and I didn't even go to it. I ended up going home one day, and it was so much blood that came out of me, I decided to go to the emergency room. I went there, they did testing, they didn't see anything because it wasn't, you know, nothing external. They just couldn't see. They said, we suggest you go to a GI. And at that point, I asked her to make me an appointment again with her GI, and I went. And the day I went, I had the colonoscopy, and I wasn't even fully awake from the anesthesia, and I heard the doctor leaning over me and telling my mom that he has cancer. And so now at this point, I'm 4 or 5 months in from opening a new restaurant in the middle of COVID and getting diagnosed with cancer. Yeah.
So, okay, so you hear it is. What's your initial thoughts?
Like what? Like how? How do I have cancer? You know, I'm smaller now because I lost about 60 pounds.
And what?
Yeah, I was about 190 almost, so I worked out twice a day. And I just didn't understand how somebody like me, who's worked so hard and take care of so many people and so selfless, can be hit with that type of, you know, obstacle. And I came out of the anesthesia, and the first thing I did was I started crying. And I started crying, and as my mom walked me to the car, my uncle pulled up. My uncle's a pastor in the city, Bishop James Dixon. And he pulled up and parked in front of the car while I was getting in. And we were in the Woodlands. And he said, I rushed here when your mom called because I wanted to make sure that I didn't leave too much time for any doubt to take a root in your mind. And at that moment, he prayed over me. He spoke life into me. And at that moment, I said, okay, it's time to fight. And from that day forward, you know, I put the gloves on.
Did you legitimately feel like you had, and by the way, I got to ask this too. Did the doctor say that there's an opportunity that, like your survival rate, is this something that be, or is this?
They don't really give you that type of information, especially at the GI. And so at that point I had to, you know, find the oncologist that I wanted to use. I wanted to find out where I wanted to get treatment. Find out what surgeon I was going to get. And so I started doing my own research, trying to find the best of the best and all of that, right? To try to give myself the best chance.
Mm-hmm.
And but I never even asked what stage I was. I didn't find out what stage I was until I beat it.
And you was at what stage?
3.
That's serious, bro.
Because so many people
what
ended
kind of
up losing.
Exactly?
Colorectal cancer, yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, so many people get discouraged.
Blessings,
you know,
to the brother, man.
Yeah.
Blessings,
yeah,
to the brother, man.
Yeah.
God. So you find out you have cancer. You got all these people that obviously depend on you.
Yeah.
Luckily, you had some good words thrown over you, so you didn't get the opportunity for doubt to lay in.
Right.
So you immediately do what? After you schedule your doctors, your brain tells you, you got to do what to make sure you're well, to make sure your business is are successful, to make sure the family is straight, you start doing what?
I kept building business.
Didn't stop.
And so what I did was I kept creating. And the more I created, the more I had something to work towards. The more I had something to work towards, the less time I had to think about not making it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept myself going forward.
That's right.
You know, and I never got stagnant. Not one time. At any, even when I was, you know, had the chemo back to me, I was at work when I could. Then at one point after I had surgery, I was in bed for 3 months. But even then, I'm on the phone and I'm working. I got this place while I was on chemo.
I was about to ask, I'm like, how you, because this is only 2020.
This is over a year old. I got this place and secured it while I was battling cancer because I needed something else to make me have to work, keep going.
That's a crazy story, bro.
Yeah.
I commend you because it's times like this where you do make those decisions. I'm going to live. Or am I just going to let this take me and defeat me?
Right.
And you chose, nah, I ain't ready yet.
And there was no piece of cake. I don't want no fight.
No, I can get
so. Yeah, I mean, that was the toughest part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of my life. And physically, emotionally, mentally. But I have three kids, you know, and those are by far the most important motivational factors that I have. And then, of course, you know, I have 50 other kids as far as staff. That have families and have, you know, and so I had a lot of motivation to be strong and get through it.
You mentioned family, man. How important was it for you to have family near you during that time? Because to me, that's a very lucky component that you just mentioned, that auntie made this happen. Big uncle came through with the word, got these three kids over here.
Yeah.
I got this external family that's, hey, man, we need you to be here because this is how we make our bread.
Yeah, my mom never missed an appointment from day one, from the GI, for the colonoscopy, all the way through. She never missed an appointment, and you can imagine how many appointments I had over the course of a year. And she was with me every step of the way. My sister kind of came in and helped do some things with the business because the schools were closed. She was an assistant principal. And so she didn't have to necessarily go to work. So it freed up to kind of help me to do some stuff here, right? And now she works for me full time. So I afford that. And, you know, my dad, the same way, he works for me full time as well. And so, you know.
Family affair.
Yeah, so I had people, man, that really just stayed close to me. My staff would come to my house and just come and see me, even though I can just look and wave and couldn't move at times.
Wow.
You know, and so it was a beautiful thing because I needed that support. But beyond that, and that's what made me, that's what I was going to say. So what made me go even more so viral is because of the cancer.
I got you.
I ended up having to putting up a notice that I was going to close for a week when I had scheduled the surgery.
Okay.
I'm thinking that all I need is a week to get my colon cut out with the cancer and tumor, and I can get back to work.
Right, right.
Right?
You don't work out. You got a problem.
And so when people saw it, they automatically started assuming that the business was closing because people had COVID. I don't know if you remember during that time, it was a scary thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
So when people started saying, oh, that restaurant, people have COVID, now that can hurt your business because people, I don't want to go there,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they were spreading all of these things over social media talking about the Grizzly Spoon must have COVID. They're closing up for a week. And I literally had to come out publicly and make a statement that actually I've been diagnosed with cancer.
So how did that feel? Because this
and I'm a private person.
That's what I'm
doing. You know, I'm not open like that.
You gotta take something that's very personal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you gotta share it with people.
And it turned out for my good because thousands of people, like, just kind of like just came and started supporting physically at the restaurant. They started sending me emails from all over the world.
Wow.
All over the world.
Right.
And just praying for me and giving me words of encouragement. So I would be able to sit up and go through faith. Now I'm on Facebook. Like I wasn't before. Now I got 10,000 comments to go through and respond to every last one of them. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, so it was real cool.
A lot of times when people get sick, and I know I'm like this, I don't share any sickness with anybody, especially my family. I don't like them to see me weak because, you know, you feel like you got to be strong. I'm just curious, how were you able to be okay with showing this weakness? And I'm going back to something that you said, that you were allowing the people, your workers, to come and see you as you were on your journey. What made you comfortable enough to do that? Because oftentimes, especially you're a black male,
right,
man, got your own business, we are not allowed to show weakness at any point, no matter if we got something or we don't.
Right.
What made you say, I'm okay with sharing this with them and these people and the world after that?
It was a humbling experience because I took that as a season for me to really, really humble myself.
Mm, yes.
And because up until that point, I had been that guy. you know, and I thought I was Superman. Everybody else thought I was Superman. I've been doing very well for a long time. And that was the first time that I didn't have control over anything.
Mm.
And so I realized that, hey, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be, you know.
That's strong.
Yeah, it's. And so it actually changed me. Going through the cancer, more so than physically, it changed me mentally. To where now I don't have to keep up a certain aura. If you know, it's okay for me to hurt or not feel good about something, or feel sad, you know, or show emotion, because that's what makes you relatable to people.
Yes.
And so up until that point, I thought I had to be the picture perfect guy for the whole world, my world, you know, and I realized I didn't. And that takes so much extra stress out for you,
too. Let me tell you something. Mr. Mac, I had no clue that this is where it was about to go with the greasy spoon story. I didn't know all this, man. So, I appreciate you sharing.
For sure.
Obviously, this is a story of triumph. You're still doing it. We're sitting at your third location, but I see the truck outside, too.
I could build that while we're all doing it too. Yeah.
There's somebody watching this now to say, I have done less with my time and have never been sick. So what do you attribute that? It's really a winner's mentality, to be honest with you. So what do you attribute that to? Because everybody don't have it, man. A lot of people in life, let's be honest, hard stuff happens. People give up.
Right.
And maybe it's the family. I can tell that you family oriented.
Yeah.
I gotta fight through this because these people depending on me. Maybe that's something that people need. I don't know. What was it for you?
I'll tell you this, and this pretty much sums it up. I was 23. I bought a gas station. I was the youngest gas station owner in the state of Texas.
Man, you knew it. You are not the average, bro.
And people always ask me over the years what made me think I can do some of the stuff that I did, because it's like you're not supposed to be. Who does that, right? And it hit me, you know. And I answered one time. I said most of what I've done and what I've accomplished in my life, I did it because I didn't know I could.
Mm.
And so,
are your parents entrepreneurs or anything?
Yeah. My parents, my family.
Oh, you know, so you come from an entrepreneur background.
Yeah.
That can do mentality might have been something that was bred.
Absolutely. It's innately in me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I know.
It is.
Yeah, that's all I know.
So have you ever worked for anyone else but yourself? Seems like at least since your early 20s, it's all been just you.
I've been doing this for a long time, and it's just been me.
What's your biggest fear? and you might have conquered it. I don't know, but I want to ask because here it doesn't sound like there's a lot of fear, because I think if you're 23 and you make the decision that you're going to start a gas station, that's a bold statement for a 23-year-old baby.
Man, letting my kids down is my biggest fear. That's really it. As long as I win for them, and not so much of what, because I'm big on legacy, and but not so much. I used to be about what I can leave for my kids, but now it's more so about what I can leave in my kids, and so that's what legacy.
Boy, you like
really is
quotable right now.
And so for me, that's what it's about. And if that's my biggest fear, not being able to do that.
How you balancing all this, man? You obviously just recovering from cancer. You got businesses. You over your own conglomerate, basically. But you still got your kids. You still got to be a family guy. Mama still got to have her time. How you balancing running all this? And maybe you had a lot of practice because you've done it for so long. But I don't know. But
I've been terrible. I'm not going to sit up there in front. I've been terrible with it. Since 2020, since the whole cancer diagnosis, that's helped me to slow down and stop and value things differently. So now it's not about how much money I can make, when that used to be the motivation. I'm not gonna front with you. I've always wanted to be a billionaire, and so every single thing that I've done was geared towards
getting that billy.
You know, but now when you don't know if you're gonna live or not, you know, your perspective changes. Yes. And so now, like I said, my legacy that I want to leave is more so about what I'm leaving in people. And so I'm doing better with stopping and spending that quality time, even if it's something that seems like it's small and minute. To them, it might be very, very big. You know, just picking up the phone and calling my grandmother, even though I'm crazy busy and I didn't ignore 500 phone calls prior to her. I got to answer hers, though. And I'm just working on myself to be the best version of myself.
So you're still in progress.
I'm still a work in progress. I promise you, I am.
But I dig it. Yeah. Tell me about the locations, man, because I got confused when I was coming here because I saw a couple of them pop up. I'm like, okay, let me see what the address is that they sent to me.
Right, right. So this is actually the second location in Pearland. I plan on having a few more in the city before I expand out the city.
Okay.
Dallas, Atlanta, some other places.
We already thinking about it, man.
I want to go nationwide with it. And my goal is to, of course, I've had several people try to come and buy me out and franchise and all of that offer.
Not now?
I've been... And the good thing is, like, I'm in a position where I turned down $7 million from somebody, and it's because I want to have full ownership of what I have. The moment you start giving ownership to other people or interest with to other people, then that's when the challenges come up that you may not have full control over. I want the greasy spoon to look like me, sound like me, move the way my heart moves.
Yes.
I'm big on community. I'm big on giving back. I'm big on making sure I take care of the people that take care of me. And so for a lot of people, it becomes just about the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not. It's more so about serving a purpose bigger beyond profit.
Okay.
And so I want to serve a purpose beyond profit. And the only way I can ensure that is to make sure I'm the one doing it.
That's right. That's right. The Greasy Spoon, the name. Last dumb question. What's the name? Did something happen with a Greasy Spoon? Why the Greasy Spoon?
Man, everybody asked me that. And this,
I had a dream and woke up and that was the name.
Man, I was at one of the other restaurants that I was doing and sitting on a patio. And my friend he called me and said, I'm about to come up there and chop it up with you and get some of that Greasy Spoon. That's literally how I went. And so for me, the way I think, right? Now, this was probably 4 years prior to me opening up the Greasy Spoon.
But you always kept that name.
And I said, man, I'm going to open up a restaurant one day and call it the Greasy Spoon.
Mm.
And I went and got it incorporated, the name and everything, and did open up until 3 or 4 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you had enough vision to know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started, man, writing down and making it plain.
So when you was making it plain, now, are you a cook by nature?
No.
So whose recipes? Is grandma?
It's a combination, man. Because I've been in the food and beverage industry for a while, I had some, partnership with some other spots in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, just taking what I learned, taking what, my cook learned. Yeah, and then my grandmother is the cook, and so.
You just saying that.
And so, no, she's the cook, for real. Now, ironically, she made me promise her that I would never sell the recipe for profit. So I can use her actual recipes in the restaurant the exact way that they are at home. She wants to keep that sacred for family.
You for some are
reason,
too.
For some reason, right?
So you had to modify it.
Exactly.
You had it, but that got to come.
Yeah, I got to put my own thing to it, And she loves the restaurant.
So when Grandma came here and she sampled the food, her thoughts was what?
Man, this tastes just like
dish. So you ain't take too much of it out.
No, I said much of it.
Grandma, you ain't hear that. It's beautiful, man. So it's great to see that you got this going. It's very family affair. It's very family oriented. I love that. You got several locations. People want to come to... Oh, what's on the menu? Can't talk about name and restaurant. We don't talk about what kind of food is here.
Right. So, of course, we do the traditional soul food items like your oxtails, butter pork chops, your fried chicken, your baked chicken, yams, mac, collard greens.
If I ask
all of that, right?
Come in, what's gonna be that the go-to meal for the average person coming in?
Oxtails are gonna be number one.
Really?
I've said it's going to be a number one item that we sell. But then I also have some, a few elevator items that I added to make, to kind of set the grease going apart.
I love that name, elevator item. That
So, with, like, for instance, I have what you call the Boss Seafood Stack on the menu.
Oh, okay.
And that's something I literally made up sitting down at the North location one day because I was hungry. And it consists of dirty rice, collard greens, stacked with a Cajun fried catfish fillet, a fried lobster tail, and then it's smothered with grilled shrimp and a Cajun shrimp meatball.
Oh, man.
That
one, sir?
That's one big plate.
That's one big plate. Who would you just say?
Yeah, and then, we had the lamb chops. We have, seafood platters. And so we have a few items that for people who kind of want to get a little jiggy with it, they can, they bougie, they want to, we take care of them.
Bougie menus.
Yeah.
This for y'all and them.
For the people who got a little bread, they want to spend $50, because you got to be able to, cater to everybody at every level. And at this day and time, you know how it is, it's the same reason clubs have sections. Because some people want to sit in a section and set themselves apart from other people and stand at the bar. So I got the bar seating with that for the people who want to be able to set themselves apart from the people who got the bay chicken.
Yes, sir. I got it. I respect it. So tell the folks where they need to come. Well, there's several locations. So just shout them all out, man, how they can reach you as well.
For sure, man. The Greasy Spawn Soul Food Bistro. We're here in Pearland on Broadway Street, one on the north side off of 45 and 1960. I was just about to say where the next location was about to open up.
Are you about to open up another one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Yeah. So I guess you can't tell us then. It's all right. Y'all follow.
Of course, the food truck, it's...
And how often do y'all have the food truck out there?
And so I had the food truck at the Houston Grub part when it first opened, the black-owned food truck part. And once it closed up, I parked it here to kind of decide what my next, step was going to be with, because, everybody tries to get it and book it. And I just kind of keep it exclusive to where it's like, hold on, I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, please.
I'm going to use the food truck to actually test different markets around the city and the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, I don't have to go and open up a restaurant everywhere. I take the food truck first, test the market. If it catches, then I know I need to put a restaurant there.
Gotcha.
And so that's what I'm going to really use the food truck for.
You're going to do it the same way in the city, too?
Yeah. So even like,
this weekend and find y'all somewhere all of...
Not as of right.
Like, okay, y'all need to hit them up, put the pressure on.
We do private bookings, we're like the schools are here.
But I ain't going to see you park this weekend or nothing like that.
We're not going to be outside the club,
Okay.
Not yet.
I respect. If they want to follow you, get more of your story, how can they do that?
For sure. The restaurants, Instagram, Facebook. Instagram is the Greasy Spoon HTX, stamped in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Facebook is the actual name, the Greasy Spoon Soul Food Bistro.
Okay.
Yeah. And me, I'm Max and Gets It In. On Instagram, and then, Max Bozeman on Facebook.
Max Gets It In.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. You got to make sure you shot some of this food out, too.
I saw it, man. I'm like, man.
But afterwards, though, because I don't want you to stink.
Be in an interview like this.
Right.
All right, we ain't going to let that happen. I appreciate it, man. But thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, shit.